Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, C Sparky, 5 for 55 past the hour. Time for another Milwaukee Sports Time Out as we broadcast from the Wendy's studios. Don't forget, when the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. I know, it's the All-Star break, but still, it goes for the remainder of the season. So anytime the Bucks get a win, you go to any participating Wisconsin Wendy's within 24 hours, get yourself a free chocolate or vanilla Frosty. They've been winning a lot this year, so a lot of free Frosties have been given out. Joining me now, so I can vent and yell and scream, you won't hear it all here in the first couple of minutes, but you'll hear it if you go to 1250amthefan.com to listen to the rest of it. He is Tim Mumma from Brewer Fanatic. Follow Tim on Twitter at Tim_Mumma. Has got a great new story out on the Pecota projections for the Brewers pitching. You would definitely want to go check that one out. And we're going to talk about pitching because this whole Corbin Burns fiasco has me absolutely irate at this point as far as the arbitration process. The Brewers not wanting to spend another $600,000 or $700,000 just to have it go away. And instead, they go to arbitration and they win, similar to Josh Hader. And Corbin Burns, similar to Josh Hader, none too happy with how the whole thing played out. Tim Mumma, what's your take on this?
Well, I know I'm here to give the rational take since we all know you, as you said, need to vent. So, I mean, this is the reason people always, and the Brewers in the past, have almost never gone to arbitration is because you have this risk of getting players upset because essentially it's a 1v1 conversation, and the Brewers side, they need to find a way to lessen his value. And of course, Burns and company are going to try to raise his value. You know, and typically, from what I've known, you stick to the statistics, you have those comparisons to other players in the league, and you kind of make it as objective as possible. But it sounds like there are quite a few narratives being thrown out there and more subjective opinion, and I think that's where Burns really kind of felt burned, for lack of a better term, by it. If it's true that the Brewers were saying something to the effect of that it was his fault that they didn't reach the playoffs, I could see where that would make a player mad. Now, is he going to be professional and still go out there and do his job? Yeah, of course. He said as much. Is it going to help him? Maybe he's got a chip on his shoulder. Sure, that could be the case too. I just think overall, and I'm sure you've seen this as well, it seems in the last year the Brewers have had a lot of trouble figuring out how to handle players and running their communication, PR. It's kind of been a mess. And this, I wouldn't say it's the cherry on top, but this definitely feels like something that it could hurt them down the road. I don't think he was signing an extension anyway, so I don't think that's really a factor. But is it going to impact his performance? I guess we'll wait to see.
I have stated for years, and more so now than ever before, they should not have players in these arbitration hearings. It should be the arbiter, yep, or the representation for the player, the representation for the team, and that's it. Because this does nobody any good by having him there and watching his boss rip him apart in front of everybody. He's not going to forget that. And his opinion of this organization is forever changed because of it.
Yeah, and you know, there's some theories out there that agents actually don't mind this at all because it does put the team more in a bad light. It does sort of fire up the player, and the agent, look, his job is to make the most money that he can for the player because, of course, he's going to get a cut. So really, maybe it just speeds things up or enhances the idea that Burns is definitely going to be looking to hit the market in a couple of years. So that's part of it. I mean, some of it's a business, some of it's a game. Unfortunately, the only people who don't really have a say in it and the ones that might be affected most are the fans. And we've definitely seen them on social media come out in droves as far as bashing the organization, bashing Tenacio. I mean, the list kind of goes on and on. And, you know, I don't know where it's going to lead, but obviously the play on the field is going to dictate everything. So if it doesn't affect them and they still play up to their level, great. If, again, this kind of throws things out of whack, as it seemed the Josh Hader trade did last year, which, by the way, Burns definitely was impacted by that as well. I don't know. That could be the beginning of the end and the idea of a rebuild happening, because, of course, with Burns getting traded, eventually you're going to look to recoup those assets.
So let's talk about the offseason. So for a majority of the offseason, the Brewers did absolutely nothing, right? They made a couple of trades, but as far as signing any type of impact free agent third baseman, that never simply happened. You didn't do that. You didn't sign any impact player for the bullpen, per se. You didn't sign, well, Miley, I guess, is going to be a starter, so I guess you signed him on the cheap. But outside of that, you really didn't do anything. And a lot of the fan base said, well, okay, this is probably them getting ready to announce an extension for either Adamas, Woodruff, or Corbin Burns. Well, Corbin Burns said that maybe there was that two-year type extension offered. Mm-hmm. McKelvey followed up, Adam McKelvey of Brewers.com, MLB.com, followed up with a tweet after that and said, according to my source, that was never offered. There was no two-year option or two-year extension ever offered. It was a player or a club option for 2024 or something like that, right, that they were offering up. So you mean to tell me, Willie Adamas goes to the little soiree that they had at Dugout 54 and says, yeah, I really haven't talked to him about an extension. Woodruff, I don't think they've talked to him either. And Burns, clearly they haven't offered an extension. So all three of them have 2 years left on their deal, and nobody has been talked to. Like, is the grand plan here, okay, 2 years, and then we're blowing this thing up, and we're going to be bad like the Pirates for a few years? Like, to me, this is, as a fan now, I'm not being irrational. I'm being a damn Brewers fan who watched the Bud Selig era and all this other crap happen. You are mad right now as a Brewer fan going, you're not going to keep any one of these three dudes, like, at all? Like, not even going to try? I mean, hell, Doug Melvin knew there was no chance Prince Fielder was taking 5 out of 100. They knew Sabathia was not right, taking 5 out of 100. But you know what? They offered it. They threw it out there, and they said to the fan base, that's what we can afford. Let's see what happens. It doesn't appear these guys are even going to try that.
Yeah, no, I still believe it's definitely on the table for Woodruff and or Adamas. Of course, the shortstop market exploded this past offseason,
sure,
so that may have given the Brewers some pause, because, you know, fans might not see it, but if you look at a lot of the numbers, Adamas is, he's not up there amongst the top, but he's right at that next level. So, you know, the numbers are going to be at least somewhat close to what you've seen, unless he hits the free market, then the Brewers might have to tap out. Woodruff does seem like the most likely, especially...
Yes.
Especially the idea that, you know, again, Burns was always likely to be gone because he's gonna command so much money, and the Brewers just aren't going to take on that risk. Woodruff obviously has been in the system and with the organization for how long. He just seems to have that sort of mentality of wanting to stick it out with the team. Again, that's making an assumption. He's a little bit older than Corbin. It just seems to be a fit, and I could definitely see it happening even during the middle of the season. Now, maybe if you're the Brewers organization, especially after what just happened with Burns, you ramp up those extension talks a little bit and try to get something done in the next week or two, because they need some positive PR. They need some fan excitement, because I don't, it's not just the Burns thing. It's everything that's happened over the past year or so. People have really turned, and it's kind of gotten ugly a little bit. And yes, I know social media isn't real life, but there's plenty of fans on there that I respect their opinions that have these negative feelings. And without spending that money on someone, and now, like you said, it really wasn't done in the free agent market, Woodruff and Adamas, I think one of them has to get signed at some point during the season as far as an extension goes. Now, of course, it takes two to tango. The players have to want to stay, and I still think out of the two that we're talking about here, I think it would be Woodruff. So if I'm the Brewers, I'm maybe pushing a little more chips into the middle of the table for Woodruff and saying, hey, let's get this thing done. Let's make sure we're set for the next, you know, 5 years or whatever, at least with you, and then we can move forward and hopefully get the positive vibes going as we start spring training.
They need to trade Christian Yelich. I've been saying it forever.
Oh, not this again.
You've
got to
trade Yelich with a prospect, a good prospect, somebody that's well-respected. You find somebody. Oh, come on. There's lots of teams out there with a huge payroll. Find somebody that'll take this dude that thinks he can be their leader. Off hitter and get rid of him, and that then allows you an opportunity legitimately to pay one of these dudes to keep him, because maybe Mark Atanasio says we can't have two guys at $25 million a year. Well, as a market, we can't have a third of our payroll taken up by two players in Milwaukee. We cannot be able to fill out a roster if we have a third of our payroll invested in two players. That might be their thinking. So if that is the thinking, then you have to figure out a way to get rid of Yelich, even if it means packaging with him with prospects to just get rid of the contract.
No, you can't. You're not. You're not going to do it. First of all, the thing is, truthfully, Yelich's contract, as the years go on, actually doesn't look as bad.
Exactly.
I know there's a firm number. Right, but he's still productive. I know the problem is everyone's going to compare him to his MVP seasons. If you compare him to the actual run environment that we've had, especially last year, he's exactly what you want in a leadoff hitter. Why would you want to move him?
I'm not paying $26 million for a slap leadoff hitter. I'm not
Do you want to win this year? Who are you going to have? Who are you going to have leading off? Who are you going to have in your outfield? They already are shorthanded in their outfield. They already don't have enough offense in their outfield.
Oh,
now you're going to get rid of your leadoff hitter?
If it was me, I'd have all the kids playing in the outfield. All of them.
Then you might as well trade Burns and Woodruff now and get more prospects, because you're not winning games if you have all the young guys in the outfield. You're just not.
Well, we don't know. I mean, Frelick to me is Frelick is the leadoff hitter going forward. There's no question.
I love Frelick.
And Christian Yelich as a slap hitter at $26 million a year is not worth it. That's what I said. If the Mets like him at $26 million to be a slap hitter at the top of their lineup, by all means, take him. Boston, the Yankees, whoever wants him, maybe you can sucker the Cubs into taking him. Whatever. I don't really care. I just want the number in his contract gone. Like you said, it doesn't look as bad now because of all these other big contracts going on. If that frees up money to keep Woodruff or Burns, I'm all for it.
Well, Burns isn't staying unless the Brewers just decide to go way outside their comfort zone. I don't see that happening. Woodruff, Adames, again, that could happen. But again, with the whole Yelich thing, how many home runs, because I feel like you look at it just from a home run point of view, how many home runs would he need to hit for
30.
You to not consider him a slap hitter? 30?
30.
30?
30.
Oh, man.
That's what you paid him on. You paid him on 2 years, and again, if you look at his numbers, he had 2 years. So what happened those 2 years that's different than what happened before those 2 years and what happened after those 2 years? Because he was not the same player before those 2 years, and he hasn't been the same player since those 2 years. And we can talk about injuries since, but this Christian Yelich looks like the Marlins Christian Yelich, not superhero Christian Yelich before the contract. I'm just saying, like, to me it makes absolutely no sense how you can be Superman with a bat for 2 years and now all of a sudden become Lois Lane. I mean, to me it makes no sense. Whatsoever.
The thing is, it happens all the time in baseball. People just tend to forget, especially when they're not
Brady
on your team.
Anderson, it happened to. Cody Bellinger, it happened to.
Cody Bellinger is a perfect example.
Those
like,
are
literally
the two guys.
Yelly and Belly. Yeah, and I mean, look, it happens. And it stinks,
both
and we
California
don't know all
guys.
The reasons why. Yeah, well, maybe that has something to do with it. But, I mean, we don't know the reason why, obviously. And, I know you've been banging that drum, and I feel like I got close to sort of maybe seeing it. I don't get it. If you're trying to win, he's still your best option, in my opinion, to help this lineup. And he's not going to hit 30 home runs.
Nope.
But what if he hits 35 doubles and 15 home runs? Is that enough for you?
No.
Because you got to remember, too, when he was the MVP Christian Yelich, he was making way less than he should have. So if you look at it from the grand scheme of things, again, the
now
value.
Now you sound like an owner.
No, it's the only way to look at it, though. I mean,
to make yourself feel better.
Value is a long-term thing. I don't need to feel better. I feel fine. I feel fine about it. But, you know, we're never going to agree on that one, and I
because
obviously
it's
prove you wrong.
Listen,
so.
Hold on. Let me just say this. If they didn't have these three dudes who all are considered good players at their positions, all available for an extension, if that didn't exist, right, and you had the other star, if you had the feel to the Braun and that player to Yelich already under contract for another 5 or 6 years, then I wouldn't be as concerned about this whole thing. But you don't. You have a guy you're overpaying in Yelich, and you don't have anybody else other than maybe William Contreras, and we don't really know what that is. He's still awfully young. But outside of him, you don't really have anybody else that you can bank on for the next 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, from now through the next 5 years, sure, but I think they're looking at it as a cycle that, you know, you have this year or two, and then maybe there's some growing pains with the young guys, or maybe they figure out a way to get the right guys in a package for Corbin Burns or whatever they decide doing. So, I mean, there's a lot of options, and look, the Brewers, just like every other major league team, well, except for the Mets, although they could spend more, every team could be spending more. It's just what they choose to do, and Yelich's contract shouldn't hold them back, and I understand that in their mind it probably does in some way, and that their own idea of a budget, it's going to hold them back from spending. I don't see any way it's going to happen.
Think about this. Their budget is what? $130, $132 million? So if you have another player at $25 million, let's say, that's $50 million invested in two players of $130 million in payroll. Like, how much can you compete at that level when one of the guys isn't a true impact guy anymore?
Sure, and I completely get that, and I think the issue is that the budget shouldn't be $130 million or $135 million. And I know there's been different stories and different articles and different statistical data run when it comes to that, as far as not just the Brewers but across baseball. And you know, I think that's where it does start. I'm not out there like everybody else saying, "Oh, Mark Athanasio's cheap and he's terrible. He's the worst." There are far worse owners who spend even less and couldn't care less about winning. But something just has seemed to be off the last couple of years. I don't have the inside scoop on that, at least not as of right now. I'm trying to dig up some things, but there might be something to that too, that this window that they're in, for whatever reason, they feel like they can't spend. Is it related to the Bally's TV thing? Is it still because of COVID? Is it just all an excuse? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but I don't think the answer is trading Yelich and depreciating his value by throwing in a prospect, because you're just not going to get much back anyway.
I don't want anything back. I just want him gone. You don't have to give me a
man.
You don't have to give me anything for that dude. Legitimately nothing. Like, give me a Wendy's gift card for a double stack. I'm good. Call it a day. I just want his money off the books to use it for two players better than him. That's all I want. I just want that cap money. Well, it might as well be cap money with the Brewers because they cap their payroll. But whatever that slot number is, to use on, say, a Woodruff or an Adamas. Yes. If I can get Woodruff and Adamas versus neither or one of them, would you rather have Woodruff and Adamas or Yelich and Woodruff or Yelich and Adamas?
If you guaranteed me that by trading Yelich, you could extend both Woodruff and Adamas,
yes,
I'd do it in a second. Other than that, I wouldn't take it.
And but that's all you have to do if you're Matt Arnold. Go to Antanasio and go, look, this is the deal.
Yeah.
They both are good. He's good at 25 a year. He's good at 20 a year. I know you say we can't do it because of Yelich. If I can do Yelich, get rid of Yelich, we're not going to get anything back. Nothing significant, so we'll have to take heat for that. But are you okay if I can get these two deals done by moving him for nothing? Do you think Mark says go for it?
I don't know, because he loves Yelich.
Yeah,
and they do still see him as the face of the franchise.
Yeah, that's
so.
Right. Yep. That's,
I mean, and look,
right.
that, and I know there are plenty of people like you who are tired of Yelich and want him gone and all that stuff, but there's just as many, if not more, that still love him and want him
course.
To do well. So,
people still love
again, if you're talking
to
about the PR side, you're just going to keep banging your head against the wall with this stuff, you know?
I'm not talking about any PR side, because like the Brewers, they don't care what the fan base thinks one way or the other as far as what they do player personnel-wise. Why would they care? No professional team cares about their fan base as far as what they think of their player moves. It does not exist. I don't care what anybody tells you. No GM makes a move going, boy, I hope the fan base likes what I did. They don't think about the fans. They don't care about the fans. Not at all. Now, the marketing and the business guys that are in charge of the turnstiles and they get paid based on the fans, they care about the fans. But the general manager on the team side of football, basketball, baseball, hockey, when they make a move, they're not thinking about what Joe at the corner bar thinks about them making that move or that decision.
Yeah, I completely agree. But if Arnold goes to Athanasio and says, look, this is what we're thinking of doing as far as the Yelich side goes, he might veto that, because he does look at it from a business and marketing perspective as opposed to player personnel, which, you know, sometimes that's when owners get in the way and it's a bad thing. So, you know, I it would be fascinating if they did find a trade for him. I don't see it happening. I personally don't really want it to, and because you're not going to guarantee me that you're going to be able to extend both those guys we're talking about. And again, I know in the end, if he plays well, everyone's going to love him, and they'll be like, great, this is what we were expecting. If he doesn't, it's going to be the continued narrative, and maybe eventually you get your wish. So.
Yeah, but it'll
it's
be
kind
like
of win-win for you, I
he'll
feel
he'll be
like.
40 by the time I get my wish. That's the problem. Follow him on Twitter @Tim_Mooma. Brewer Fanatic. Tell everybody about the great website.
Yeah, Brewer Fanatic's been just about a year it's been up and running. As far as the new format goes, we actually brought on Matthew Trueblood, who's got a little bit of national experience, although he is a Cubs fan. We still allowed him to join the site.
You don't tell people that, man. I'll delete that out of the recording.
He's got a great perspective. No way. Great perspective. But he's doing a great job to add some additional stuff. But especially with spring training and all the burn stuff, lots of good info up there. And feel free to leave comments, because that's what the original Brewerfan.net was all about, is that fan interaction. So let's get that going.
I absolutely love Brewerfan.net back in the day. No question. Brewer Fanatic. But you guys write way more articles than I feel like they ever did back in the day on Brewerfan. That was more of a message board site and so forth. And this really truly is a real website with real articles and the whole deal. I think you guys do a great job over at Brewer Fanatic. Again, follow him on Twitter at Tim_Muma. Tim, as always, thanks so much for letting me yell at you for a little while and vent. I told you ahead of time this was going to happen, and you thankfully were able to deal with me like you always are. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hey, I yelled back a little bit this time too, so it was fun.
That's good. Yeah. All right. Take care. There he is. Tim Muma here on 1250 AM The Fan.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.